Welcome to the Farzi Show, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta, and I'm here at the Steven Singer Studio with the Farzi Show, presented by Steven Singer himself. Hope everyone had a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. I can't believe it's already Wednesday. And let me start off by saying, I told you guys yesterday about what went on in my personal life, having to take care of Leo and all that. You guys are awesome. You really are. To our viewers, to our listeners, and a lot of people reach out to me via social media yesterday. Thank you most humbly. He's doing great. He had his best night's sleep two nights ago that he had had in quite some time. No coughing fits or anything like that. And yesterday he was just back to being his cheery old self. He looks like a little German boy. He really does. My wife has a lot of German heritage in her family. So I gave him this voice. It's not really a good German accent, but I gave him this voice. Zaddy, I feel so much better now. Thank you. I'm ready to go back on the Autobahn. Like, I give him that voice just because I'm an idiot, and that's the way my idiot brain thinks, that I have to give my children voices before they have their own voice. So anyway, I just picture him just telling me how much better he feels. So thank you to everyone that has reached out. You guys are awesome. I do very much appreciate that. Phillies, holy pots and pans. Nice little power surge. Rhys Hoskins home run. His second home run of the night last night, because he hit two of them. 12th multi-home run game for Rhys Hoskins in his career. That was, as Scott Fransky would say, a moonshot to deep center field on a sinker that caught way too much of the plate. But that was just part of the power surge. Garrett Stubbs got in on it. Friend of the program, Garrett Stubbs, got in on the power surge last night by capping it off, giving the Phillies their 11th runs of the 10th and 11th runs of the game. It was an insane power surge for the Phillies last night. Nick Castellanos, every hit he had, all three of them were extra base hits, including another home run for him. Derek Hall went yard to get the Phillies on the board. It was a great game by the Philadelphia Phillies, by their bats, by their starting pitching. Kyle Gibson went out there, matched his career high in strikeouts with 11. He has looked really good over his last couple of starts as well. I have been very impressed with what I have seen with this Phillies team bounce back in this Reds series. Now, hopefully they go out. Ranger Suarez continues to do what he has been doing in his last couple of starts, and a dominant performance against the Mets. Hopefully does the same exact thing against this Cincinnati Reds team, and the Phillies complete the sweep before facing the Mets again. But as of right now, the Phillies are playing some great baseball, doing exactly what they should be doing. And this kind of hit me yesterday. The Phillies are exactly what we think they are. They're a wild card team. Like, look at the standings right now. They occupy it. I'll show this from ESPN, snipped this off of them earlier today. Atlanta Braves up there 7.5 games into that first wild card spot. Phillies now a game and a half up on the San Diego Padres. Phillies are now still occupying that second wild card spot. Padres are a game up on the Milwaukee Brewers. So right now the wild card teams are the Braves, the Phillies, and the Padres. If you look at the standings as of right now in the National League, the Phillies are exactly that. They're a wild card team. They're not going to go out there and sweep a team like the New York Mets. Unfortunately, as much as I want them to, it's not going to happen. Mets, elite. Braves, pretty elite. Defending World Series champions. Phillies are a playoff team. And Kyle Schwarber obviously has missed a handful of games now with a calf strain. Bryce Harper hopefully will be coming back by September 1st. They're going to be adding some major pieces back to this puzzle. They already got Gene Segura back. It's great to see a 280 hitter occupying second base. And I know last night was the best example. And as we talked about Bryson Stott yesterday being a 290 hitter in the last 30 games, yesterday not his best performance. We know that. But you still got now a 280 hitter essentially at second base, a guy that's been hitting around 290 over the last month of the season playing shortstop for you, and Alec Boehm, who has really turned it on over the last couple of months of the season. Nick Castellanos, maybe this, I feel like we've said this so many different times throughout this year, but maybe this is Nick Castellanos finally clicking it into high gear to be the guy that the Phillies thought they were signing when they went over the luxury tax of the offseason. Shouldn't even say offseason, spring training. But when it comes to Nick Castellanos, maybe this is the time. Maybe he needed to go back to Cincinnati and hit a little bit more before he comes back to Citizens Bank Park to start hammering some baseballs for the Phillies. I didn't go to college. I hit baseballs. Nick Castellanos, words of wisdom. Let's see him hit some more of those baseballs, because this series has been a really nice jumping off point for him. Bad news from last night's game. Brandon Marsh, who has been playing some nice center field for the Phillies after the trade deadline when they Packets Mickey Moniak, or should be Logan Ohapi, is one of the trades out there to the Angels. Mickey Moniak was for the Noah Syndergaard trade. But looking at Brandon Marsh, he has patrolled center field quite well for the Phillies. And last night he goes back on a home run, tries to make a play on the ball, goes over the fence. He comes down awkwardly, and it looked nasty. It was one of those things where my wife looked up from her Kindle, and she went, oh God, because she heard my reaction, that she watched the replay. She went, oh, God. It was one of those deals. After the game, Rob Thompson, good old Topper, said that he's going to have an MRI. As of right now, the doctor there in Cincinnati said that it looks like a bone bruise. So they may have dodged a bullet as far as that goes. But it looks like there's going to be a bone bruise as of right now. But he is going to be evaluated by Philadelphia team doctors and get an MRI. And they'll see how he does. As of right now, no one is set to come up from the minor leagues to fill a roster spot for the Phillies if Brandon Marsh misses a considerable amount of time. He also said after the game, Rob Thompson said after the game, this will have no effect on Kyle Schwarber. It does look Schwarber. It looks like he will come back still on Friday in that Mets series. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for that as well. And that Brandon Marsh doesn't miss any more significant time. I will say, though, Nick Maton, holy Lord, that guy had a couple of moonshots that just went foul for him yesterday. A couple of balls down the line that just ended up going foul for him that he hit on the screws and just couldn't catch much of a break last night for the batter's box. But he ended up going in for the Phillies into, I believe he took over in center field while Matt Vierling went to left field. He was in left field last night. So quite the game for the Phillies last night. Good to see them get back in the swing of things. 12:35 start time today for the Phillies. And we'll see how they get back in action and all that as the day goes on. But just to recap some of the game in case you missed it, it was Derek Hall in the third inning and Nick Castellanos going back-to-back. Hall before Castellanos. They did that with two outs in the inning. Then in the third, bottom of the third inning, the Reds get back-to-back home runs as well. That happened with Fraley and India. India's home run was the one Marsh got injured on. In the fourth inning, Hoskins hit his first home run for a 5-3 Phillies lead. It was a three-run home run. That was really the game-changing play, or home run, I should say, for the Phillies. Matt Vierling had an RBI in the fifth inning on a sac fly. It was a line drive to center field. Then Hoskins came up with that monster home run in the eighth inning to make it an 8-3 ball game. That again was with two outs, just like the back-to-back home runs they had in that third inning. And then Garrett Stubbs capped it off with a three-run home run. I think I said two-run home run earlier. Three-run home run for the 11-4 victory. They allowed a run in the bottom of the ninth inning. What are you going to do? But yeah, three extra base hits for Nick Castellanos. With this victory, we showed you the wild card standings. But how about this? With this victory, the Phillies move to 10,000 victories in franchise history. 10,000 victories. Let me save you some trouble here. Let me save you some trouble. The Phillies are now 10,000 and 11,163 on their all-time record. So that means they are 1,163 games under 500. For their all-time record. Keep on pushing, boys. Keep on pushing. I will say, I believe the Phillies got to 10,000 losses shortly before they won their second World Series in franchise history. I want to say they got to 10,000 losses in like 06 or 07. And I remember a group of Phillies fans wanting to make a big deal of 10,000. And I remember asking them, why would you want to make a big deal out of being one of the losingest franchises in the history of professional sports? And they said, because we've been here for generations. And I thought, okay, this is great. We've been here for generations of this. 10,000 losses. Well, now the Phillies got 10,000 wins. So it means two things. One, I'm old. And another, it just makes me think about, this is the other thing, it makes me think about when Jimmy Rollins called the Phillies fans front runners. And Jimmy recently came out, he got attacked by some people about his comments about where's everybody at. And I get why people would be upset with that, but I took it more as Jimmy Rollins' stamp of approval. And I said as much on the show that I like, this team is legit. Like, that's what I got out of that. I'm not going to pretend for a second that a multimillionaire is going to be able to identify with the regular people trying to go to a game and how much it costs for a family of four to go. And I told you guys when I went to a game and I was like, oh my God, I just bought a round of beers for me and my buddies. It was $100. What the hell happened here? It had been a couple of years since I went to a game. And thanks, pandemic. And I didn't have as big an issue with some people. But when he said they were front runners, when he talks about people not going to the stadium, Philadelphia couldn't be further from being front runners, in all honesty. That's how I've always felt about this, because it's not like people are watching the Phillies and go, well, they suck, I'm out, I'm now a Mets fan, or they suck, I'm out, go Yankees. Like, Philadelphia is not like that. And the fact that this town has been through 10,000 losses well before, what, 15 years, 12 years before they got to 10,000 wins, the fact that we sat as a fan base and kept this team and supported this team in Philadelphia for as long as we did is a testament to how great the Philadelphia fan base is. Yeah, they suck, but they are a terrible baseball team. You know, that's, to me, is heartwarming. So congratulations to the Phillies for getting to that 10,000 win mark now. 06, 07, yeah. Wow, 15 years. Pots and pans. Phillies, like I said, back in the 12:35 today. We're going to get into some training camp conversation. Jalen Hurts spoke to CBS yesterday. Zach Pascal had his press conference, and Shane Steichen, the Eagles offensive coordinator, also addressed the media. We're going to get to a little training camp report a little bit later on. Paul Hudrick will join the show from Liberty Ballers, because I just had to scratch this itch. I want to know how much I should be buying into any conversation about Kevin Durant possibly becoming a member of the Sixers. Because here's one thing. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to open the season on the Brooklyn Nets roster. It looks like both sides are really dug in here. And if both sides are dug in, then Kevin Durant's not going to play. And the ownership group and the front office the coaching staff isn't changing anytime soon. So it looks like they're going to make Kevin Durant hold out. And we'll see if a trade happens maybe this week, maybe next week, as the season approaches, whatever it might be. So I asked Paul Hudrick, what is to be believed? What are you to take serious when it comes to the Kevin Durant rumors? And our friend Paul Hudrick, whose hair is longer than ever, just to tease that, for the people that always say he changes his look, longer than ever. But let's get into the Eagles here. Jalen Hurts talked to CBS3, or this is CBS National, about all the weapons he has on this offensive front now. We talk a lot about A.J. Brown, and rightfully so. We should talk a little bit about even Kenny Gainwell's not having a great camp right now. I still think when push comes to shove and the season starts, you're going to see a lot of the talent that we saw last year hopefully improve when the season starts. Zach Pascal was also added to this bunch, so a veteran wide receiver that should not be overlooked, and I feel like I have overlooked him already. But he was asked yesterday by CBS about all the weapons and how you spread the ball around and keep everybody happy. And this is on top of already having Devontae Smith in this lineup. So here is Jalen Hurts talking about making sure everybody gets the touches.
When you look at these weapons that you have, what sort of responsibility do you feel of having to spread the football around and make sure that everybody gets fed?
Yeah, I don't want to make it harder than what it is. I'm going to go out there and do my job. You know, I know when everybody has the opportunity to make a play, they'll make it. And I have that amount of trust in them. I have true trust in every guy on the field. So I know things happen. You experience things. Things may not look right. But ultimately, I trust everybody in the end. And that'll never change. So never change.
That's what you want to see. That's what you want to hear from your man, from your starting quarterback every single day. That's what you want to hear from him. Like, it's not even phasing him. Like, the question is, it has to be asked. I'm not ripping the question. It has to be asked. Because you want to try to get that response from your starting quarterback. And I think he handles it beautifully. Not treating it any different. He's going to try to give everybody he can the proper amount of touches. It's basically going to be the old adage. What was it? The Steve Young line. Hey, Steve, who's your favorite receiver? The open one. The one that's wide open. That's the guy I like to throw the football to. So if it's Zach Pascal, if it's Quez Watkins, if it's A.J. Brown, if it's Devontae Smith, just get open. And your man will find you. That will ultimately be his goal, his end-all, be-all goal. Now, I also thought this was wild. Zach Pascal, as I mentioned a second ago, he addressed the media yesterday. And Zach Pascal, when addressing the media, was asked the question that everyone's been talking about for quite some time now. And that's the accuracy of Jalen Hurts. Going into last Friday's preseason game against the New York Jets, I said, I just want to see an accurate Jalen Hurts. I want to see a guy that shows that the offseason work that he put in, he took the right step forward in preseason game number one. I just want to see a guy who worked his butt off. I want to see that bear fruit in preseason game number one. Can't ask for much more than perfect. which is exactly what he got. Perfect. 6 for 6, 80 yards, touchdown. That's great. So yesterday, when addressing the media, Zach Pascal was asked a question about Jalen Hurts' deep ball and whether or not he's been accurate with that deep ball. And here is how Zach Pascal answered that.
Since I got here, his deep ball, I mean, accuracy's been amazing. A lot of his throws have been accurate. I see him getting better every day. And the work ethic he puts into that, it just trickles down to the whole team and everybody else putting in work.
Now, I always tell you this. You could file that certainly under, well, what's he going to say? Well, I'll tell you what he could say. When asked about Jalen Hurts' accuracy, hey, it's been good. He's been good on the ball. It's a good ball. And he says that. You file that under, well, what's he going to say? But the fact that he goes in that it's been amazing since he's been there, I'll take that. I'll take amazing. That might be top shelf. I don't think that's a middle-of-the-road type of answer that lets you think, okay, maybe he still has to work on it. But the fact that he says it's been amazing, all right. Going top shelf with our adjectives, aren't we? Top shelf with our adjectives. I have always said through last year, through the offseason, and right now, that there is no issue with Jalen Hurts' arm strength. He's talking about the deep ball there, right? They're talking about the deep passes down the field. The fact that he's talking about it being amazing is just getting me more excited for when the actual season starts. The arm strength is not a problem. He could go in and never change his arm strength for the rest of his career and be a 10-year starting quarterback somewhere, because that's not the issue. The issue that'll decide whether or not he'll be like a decade-long starting quarterback in the NFL will be about accuracy. And one of the great things about Nick Foles when he was here wasn't that he had some cannon arm. His arm was not an issue. It was that he was accurate. It wasn't like he was throwing darts down the field. He was throwing pillows down the field and dot in the I's and lowercase J's. As he threw the football down the field. It wasn't like McNabb where he could put his foot on one goal line and throw to the other one. It's not like that. But it's there in terms of the ability to do it, the strength to do it. Accuracy-wise, that's been more the issue. Positive note from one of his new wide receivers who's new to the fray. From what it sounds like, he didn't come in here and be like, oh, God, I can't run more than 40 yards down the field, and this guy's going to... This guy won't hit me. No, it's not that. It's a matter of the deep ball being accurate. And right now with Zach Pascal, he files it under amazing. Getting me excited. Now, this is one of the things that I know a lot of people ran with yesterday, and rightfully so. I am very entertained by Shane Steichen, the Eagles offensive coordinator, so much so that I look forward to his press conferences because the man is just very intense. And it's not intense like Nick Sirianni, where it's like a giddy type of intense. It's an intense, like he's about to perform a surgery. Like I always like watching him, it's just like he's about to leave this and go perform a surgery. Like something's, he's just on edge, this guy. And I think he also talks with his hands more than I do. So Shane Steichen goes out there yesterday, and he's talking about Jalen Hurts and his ability to escape the pocket and buy time for his wide receivers. This is what Shane Steichen had to say. This is his words on Jalen Hurts and how you don't want to put handcuffs on this guy and keep him in the pocket. Shane Steichen on his quarterback being able and his mobile power.
If guys are covered, right, you're going to hit. That's one of his superpowers, is that he can get out on the move and create plays, and we don't want to take that away from him. So when guys are covered, let's go create the big play on the move, and he did a heck of a job of that on the first play. So we don't want to take that away. And like I said, sometimes guys are going to be covered, so don't stand there. He's a great runner. We've all seen that. And he's going to make big plays that way.
Superpowers, Jalen Hurts. Superpowers. I love the idea of a coach highlighting it as a superpower. It's not just, again, top shelf with the adjectives or description. It's not just top shelf with that. This is the thing that he does that is elite, is what that is. Is Jalen Hurts an elite quarterback? No. Could he be that this year? Yeah, he could. These weapons, the work could be put in the offseason, combine those things, absolutely could be elite this year. It's possible. I'm not betting on elite, but it's possible. However, even, and I've talked about this before with other people, even average quarterbacks overall, they have something special they do. That's what they have relied on to get to the NFL level. When a guy gets to the NFL level after being, a good in college, there's one thing that he might do that is still pretty damn elite, and that's what he has hung his hat on as his career has gone on to get him to a high level like the NFL. And I've brought up the example before. Remember Trent Edwards, a quarterback here in Philadelphia for a brief second? His release time was elite. Everything else after that, subpar. Like, I remember when I was working for Sunday Night Football at a Hall of Fame game, when I think Edwards was in Buffalo at the time, I shouldn't say we, because I had nothing to do with this part of the broadcast, but they did a side-by-side of Trent Edwards and Dan Marino, the most elite of elite release times ever. And is Trent Edwards Dan Marino? I'll let you answer that question, because it just feels like, I feel like an idiot even mentioning it. But this one particular thing, release time, it was like identical. Now, the only thing is Dan Marino did everything else elite around that one release time, that one great thing, right? But people can hang their hat on one thing that makes them special, a superpower. Jalen Hurts' ability to buy time for his receivers, scramble behind the line of scrimmage, take off and get yards for his team. That is a superpower he has. That is something that he comes into this league being dominant in. Whether it's a guy like you're talking about, like Lamar Jackson, or it's just a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who has the ability to take off and get you a first down, has the ability to buy time behind the line of scrimmage. Whatever it is, those guys do those things on an elite level. Now, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, everything else around there is also elite. It's not just that one thing. Lamar Jackson, cannon for an arm. So that's also elite. You got to keep on stacking those superpowers. There's a reason why Superman is the most popular of all the superheroes. May not be your favorite, but he's one of the most popular of all the superheroes because he can do so many different things. It's not just his X-ray vision. He's not just a Flash where he just runs fast. No. It's all the things he does that makes him a superhero. Not just the one superpower. Jalen Hurts builds on those superpowers. We're going to see somebody special here in Philadelphia. Add the work ethic, the improvement, the weapons that he's talked about and keeping everybody around him happy, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, A.J. Brown, Zach Pascal, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And Dallas Goedert, you're going to be in pretty good shape. Build on the superpowers. I don't doubt that Jalen Hurts has that mobile superpower. I don't doubt. Maybe another superpower that he has also is his work ethic. I don't doubt that. Certainly a superpower that he has is mentality. Now it's a matter of making a superpower your accuracy and your ability to break down what's in front of you and take what the defense has given you. Keep building on that. Before we get to my guest Paul Hudrick today, let me tell you about my friend Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row in Philadelphia. Steven has been taking care of the people in the love business in Philadelphia for over 40 years. If you're looking to get engaged, if you're looking to get engaged, Steven Singer has Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring standing by at the ready at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. So do what I do. When it comes to all your jewelry purchases, trust my man Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, the perfect price every day online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven is also guaranteeing this, unlike any other jeweler, the perfect price. Some jewelers, or really wherever you're trying, whatever you're trying to buy a big purchase, you always feel like you got to negotiate, you got to haggle maybe. Well, Steven Singer, you don't got to worry about that because everything is set at the perfect price. He's not marking things way up just to make out like a bandit. No. He marks everything at the perfect price. That's the guarantee at Steven Singer Jewelers. So when you go to somewhere else, you might be talking to the jeweler and they might be, a couple of $100 off. Guess what? They're already making out. But at Steven Singer Jewelers, the perfect price guarantee lets you relax as a customer and concentrate on the beautiful, dazzling diamond that you want to buy. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, the perfect price. Every day online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Always fast and free shipping at IHateStevenSinger.com. Without further ado, there's so much swirling around right now about Kevin Durant and where he's going to end up. I decided to talk to my good friend Paul Hudrick of Liberty Ballers about all things KD and the likelihood of him ending up in Philadelphia. Paul Hudrick joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, making a return to the Farzi Show, our dear friend, Liberty Baller Zone, Renaissance Fair, Upstate PA Zone, Nickelback Cover Band Zone.
Ooh.
Paul, ooh. Was that one too far, Paul?
That yeah,
one
might have been too far. I didn't like that. You were doing well.
I was doing well, then I just crossed the line, didn't I? I'm a jerk. Well, thanks for joining us. I'll quit there, my friend. No, it's great to catch up with you again, my friend. Seriously, it's good to see you. I don't know, in all honesty, and if you're not following Paul, ladies and gentlemen, please, by all means, follow Paul right here on Twitter, Liberty Ballers, a.k.a. Mr. Paul, according to Tyrese Maxey. Paul Hudrick from Liberty Ballers, what am I to believe about Kevin Durant and any chance Kevin Durant is a 76er? What am I to believe with all the reports that are swirling around the association nowadays?
I would say you have a chance in the Lloyd Christmas, so you're telling me there's a chance. okay. Because I could understand, I could certainly, it makes sense that Kevin Durant would be interested in joining the Sixers, right? I mean, to play with Joel Embiid, clearly they have a really good connection. They have a huge mutual respect for each other. You saw that the last couple of years, them going back and forth, how competitive they are with each other. And now, you know, the only thing that might have been frosty was the relationship with James Harden. But now we can see they are back to being buds again. They are cool. They're friendly. So if you're Kevin Durant, why not? Why would you not want to come to Philadelphia, play with those two guys? If the Sixers get Kevin Durant, they are the favorites, right? Like, they are the favorites to win it all, like, without a doubt. And then from the Sixers perspective, yeah, no brainer. Would you like one of the greatest players to ever play basketball? Yes, we would. To accompany with the two other guys who kind of fit that criteria. So, you know, from the Sixers side, I get it. From the Durant side, I get it. From the Nets side, I do not. That's where the issue is. And I think where Durant is, it's not a situation where, at least not that I've seen and not that anyone else has reported, that Durant has said, send me to Philadelphia and that's it, right? Like, I have not seen that out there. Like, not like the Anthony Davis situation where, like, he sent me to the Lakers. Like, that's where he wanted to go. That's where he wanted to be. It's not that type of situation. There are other options they can send him to. One of those options perhaps being the Boston Celtics, which, yeah, that's not going to feel real good for Sixers fans to hear. But when, you know, look at the betting odds, like, recently it was the Celtics that were the ones. I saw Sam Amick of The Athletic report that's the front runner offer. When you're looking at, you know, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, and picks, that's, quite frankly, with all due respect to what the Sixers have to offer, it's a better offer. And this is that's coming from me, who is as high on Tyrese Maxey as anyone you'll find. This guy is going to be an all-star. Like, he's that good. And I, you know, the sky is the limit. I don't know how good he's going to be yet, but you also have to factor in that they'll have to take back the last 2 years of Tobias Harris's contract to make the money work. Sure, you want to throw Matisse Thybulle in there? Yeah, there's potential there. The guy is a two-time, you know, second-team all-defensive team pick. Still a commodity, still a guy that has value. But then after that, what are you giving them? The 2029 first-round pick? Because you can't trade any picks. You're lightening the protections, I suppose, on the 2027 pick you owe the Nets. But why am I doing that when I could go other routes and get other things done? Look at Toronto and what they can offer with, you know, either a Scottie Barnes or an OG Anunoby. Like, with all due respect to what the Sixers have and how good I think Tyrese Maxey can be, I just think unless Durant says, I'm going to the Sixers or I'm going to retire or I'm going to sit out the whole season, I don't see the path.
So, in other words, other teams can offer the better package and the more proven commodity already, like a Jaylen Brown, for instance.
Sure. And yeah. I guess the one thing I would note, and a lot of very smart people have already noted this, is that with Jaylen Brown, he only has 2 years left on his deal. The cap is supposed to see a spike in 2025. So there's a good chance, you know, if things don't go well for Jaylen Brown in Brooklyn, if he gets traded there, he's going to walk, right? And he's a Georgia guy. So would he go back to perhaps Atlanta, which would have a good amount of money, and go play with Trae Young down there? So there is flight risk there when you're talking about Jaylen Brown, whereas with Maxey, it's maybe not as much. But if you're talking about kind of like what you said, the proven commodity, you want to be good now. Jaylen Brown was just on a team that went to the finals. He's already an all-star basketball player. And wings, too. That's the other thing, too. It is much harder to find elite wings than it is to find elite guards. So if you're Brooklyn and you can get your hands on a guy like that, yeah, that's the package I lean towards. And again, same with Toronto. That's why I lean towards that package, too, because wings are just so hard to get.
It's interesting that you mentioned Toronto, because a lot of the common reports are
Philadelphia, Boston, Miami, Phoenix even, and now you're saying Toronto as well. So it seems like the Nets, I mean, why would the Nets in this instance do a favor for Kevin Durant at this point?
Yeah, and to me, if I'm the Nets, I'm making them hold out. Like, if I'm not trading him unless I have to, right? Like, because you're not going to – the word is they're getting lowballed. And, of course, they are. Everyone's trying to steal one of the greatest players of all time. And no one's going to make, like, their best offer yet. And so, yeah, I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to hold on to him because that's the other thing, Mark. Like, if they can smooth things over and if they could bring Kevin Durant back, Kyrie Irving plays, the vaccination status doesn't matter this year. You know, if Ben Simmons is healthy, because I know – and listen, I know – the city of Philadelphia is very down on Ben Simmons. He is the punchline of a lot of jokes. A lot of that is very fair, but when the guy plays basketball, he's pretty darn good. And when you put him with guys like Durant and guys like Irving, who can score and who can shoot and could do those other things, he could fit in really nicely in there. You know, and then they also have a Patty Mills, who's a good player. The fellow named Seth Curry, who is pretty good here, who's still there. Nick Claxton, who's a good young center. Like, they have Cameron Thomas. They have a few good pieces that if Durant and Kyrie come back, they're going to be competitive. Like, they're going to be a team that's going to fight for the East if they can smooth it all over. So if I'm the Nets, I'm not in a hurry. And it's going to come down to Kevin Durant telling me I am not showing up to training camp before I even seriously start entertaining stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think the Sixers are on his list in terms of the places he wants to go?
Well, the first reports were Phoenix and it was Miami, Phoenix and Miami, I believe. Yeah. So I would imagine, and I get Phoenix, right? I think he wants to play with Devin Booker, which I totally can respect and understand. A guy like Chris Paul wanted to play with him. I get and respect that too. So I sort of, and not only that, Phoenix was the number one seed last year. You put Kevin Durant on that team, that's pretty interesting. That's a team that should, again, whatever it feels like, whatever team, if he gets traded, whichever team gets him, that team becomes the instant title favorite. So like with Phoenix, certainly they would become that. So I think Phoenix is high on the list. Sure, Miami I think would be pretty high on that list too, but Miami's tricky because you know, the best player they could probably offer the Nets is Hero, and I'm not sure that's going to be nearly enough. You know, they can't offer Bam Adebayo because of that whole rookie scale contract thing where they already have Ben on that. Mm-hmm. So that complicates matters. So, I mean, I guess.
Real quick, Lloyd Christmas wouldn't even say there's a chance of this happening, but I just want to make sure I have the logistics right and the rules right. But if Ben Simmons is a part of the deal to go to Miami, Bam could be a part of that deal to go to Brooklyn, no?
He could be, but do you think that Jimmy Butler wants Ben Simmons on his team in Miami?
Absolutely not, unless Jimmy Butler was also a part of that deal.
Perhaps, but I don't see the Miami deal. I think Miami is very bought in with Jimmy as the guy, and I think Jimmy has proven their investment to be wise with the way, especially, he looked last year. He was fantastic for them.
After he wanted to kick Spoelstra's ass, that team really straightened its
Udonis Haslam too.
And Udonis Haslam as well. All right, so this really just seems like a wildly unlikely scenario for Kevin Durant to wind up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's not impossible. I mean, sure, like if you're, again, the scenario where if you're looking at it from the Nets perspective, a guy like Maxey could be attractive because he is so young, because you have the opportunity to retain him for a long time. I would think that Rich Paul would be delighted to have him play with Ben Simmons, his other clutch client. Mm. So that's a good thing that you'd have going for you if you're the Nets. So from that perspective, maybe, but at the same time, like all these other teams we mentioned, I just think they can offer more. And to me, like I already said, like if I'm the Nets, I'm holding out. I'm holding out for as long as I can.
All right. Aside from Kevin Durant, do you get the feeling that this offseason, in terms of making any tweaks to this lineup, do you feel like it is done and this is the team we're going to see come training camp with Thybul and Tobias Harris on this roster right now?
I would say Tobias Harris feels very, very safe to be on this team opening night. And that's what I've been told as well. That's the words I've been hearing for a while, actually. I think the opportunities to perhaps move him were earlier in the summer around the draft. And I don't think what I've been told vehemently from the Sixer side of things is that they didn't, they never wanted to sell players, right? Like they, if they were going to trade Tobias Harris, they wanted to get something for him. They weren't just giving him away. It wasn't a salary dump. They wanted to have assets in return. And that deal never came to fruition because, quite frankly, he makes a lot of money and he makes a lot of money over the next 2 years. So that just trade just never seemed feasible. And so, and I also think to Tobias's credit, he proved himself to be a good enough player to help this basketball team win games. So you're, again, you don't want to give away a guy like that. The price tag stinks. It's tough against the cap, but you also have Maxey on a rookie contract. So it kind of comes out of the wash in the end. But yeah, I would say Thybulle is safe right now, but I think the situation I would monitor would be the Donovan Mitchell situation in Utah. Not for them to get Donovan Mitchell, but that would start the fire sale, right? For Utah, if Donovan Mitchell goes, you have two really attractive guys that I think would fit great here. And that's Patrick Beverley, who has a history with Daryl Morey, has a history with James Harden, has a history with Doc Rivers, would fit great here, would be a seamless fit. The other guy I think would actually be a better fit would be Jordan Clarkson. They could use another guy, a guard, dynamics, can score, was the former sixth man of the year, coming off a little bit of a down year, but you play him in some lines with Joel Embiid. I mean, this guy can feast. And I think they have enough. His weakness is defense, but I think they'd have enough when you're bringing a D'Anthony Melton off the bench and a Daniel House off the bench, you know, lineups with PJ Tucker. When you have those type of guys, you can afford to have a Jordan Clarkson on the floor because he's surrounded with so much defense and so much size and so much physicality. That's the guy to me that I would target. So to, like you're, you know, asking, do I think this is what this roster looks like? Is anything going to change? I think they are comfortable with where they are. If nothing happens between now and opening night, they're good with riding with what they have. But if an opportunity presents itself, Daryl Morey is going to take it. If there's a chance to make this team better, make this team even deeper, I think he will gladly take it.
Do you think we'll ever know how much money Ben Simmons got from the Sixers with this grievance case that just wrapped up? Do you think we'll ever even have an idea of how much money he made from the $20
million? No, I don't. I think it's in – I'm. Here's what I – I mean, this is all guesswork. This is not me knowing anything of no inside knowledge of this, but it seemed to me the league probably wanted the Sixers to go and fight it tooth and nail. You know what I mean? Because just because of the precedent it sets, right?
Sure. Okay, good. All right. That's so a good point.
That's why the NBA probably wanted them to pursue it more. I think from the Sixers perspective, it was, let's move the hell on. Like, why are we letting this linger? Like, let's find a number. Let's all move on. You know, Ben, good luck in Brooklyn. We're going to do our thing here and let's just, cause, and I think mostly that's what's going to happen, right? Like it happened and it really hasn't been much to follow up on. Like, this is it. Like, we don't know the number. We're probably never going to know the number. So, and I think it behooves both sides to just kind of move on and do their thing. Me, I personally am very much in favor of never having to talk about it ever again. I don't foresee that ever coming out. I imagine there is a legal issue if that does leak out, that if someone does leak it out, they might get in some trouble.
I don't want to one up you. You know, I like your sources better than mine, but he did. It wasn't a giant bag of cash that Ben Simmons got from the Sixers. Rumor has it, it was a flaming bag of dog poo that they left on his doorstep, and he had to stomp it out in his little house in LA there, the $17.5 million mansion.
What was
that
the
he's
guy
got
in,
there.
In Billy Madison, old man.
I can't confirm or deny. Come on, you know to relieve the sources. Anyway, last thing for you here, my friend. When it comes to the 76ers squad as currently constructed, I think a lot of it hinges on the maturation process of Tyrese Maxey, who you already said is probably going to make an All-Star team in the not too distant future, maybe even the upcoming year. But after that, I think it goes down to James Harden and what you're going to get from James Harden. We're seeing him look like a track star in the offseason. Are you buying into the workout videos? Are you buying into this slender version of James Harden and a much better upgraded version of James Harden we're going to get in the upcoming season?
I think you're going to see a better version because I think the hamstring being healthy alone and the fact that he's been able to play pickup all summer long, I think that's huge. I saw the one interview where he talked about his diet and he said, like, hey, like all these years – I kind of ate whatever I wanted and then just worked, but now I can't do that. I have to change my diet. And I'm like, well, good for you to realize that at 32 years old. Joel Embiid realized that at what? I think like 26, 27 when he hired a dietitian and all that. So Everyone kind of has that moment. I think last year, look, James Harden is a prideful guy, right? I mean, this is a guy who was the MVP of the league, one of the top 75 players of all time. Like, he, I'm sure when he looks back on how that season ended, he's not happy about it. I'm sure he did not feel good about it. And he's probably had to look in the mirror and say to himself, all right, what do I do? Like, what do I do to make sure this never happens again? And I think that's a big part of it, is the health and taking care of yourself. And when you're talking about hamstrings and soft tissue and all that, I mean, that stuff takes forever to come back. It takes even longer if you're not doing the proper things to take care of your body. You know, you don't have to be an athletic trainer or a nutritionist to know these things. Like, it's just the reality of the human body. When you take care of your body, it works better. And I think that's why I am buying it. I think he will be better. I think the hamstring's going to be healthier. I think it looks like he's dropped a little bit of weight. And he's just changed his outlook. And, you know, to see him and Joel Embiid kind of bond more than we've ever seen Joel Embiid bond with maybe any teammate ever other than Jimmy Butler, it's all very encouraging. So, you know, of course we have to see it, right? Like, we have to see it. We can't go too nuts about it, but it's very encouraging to hear what he has to say and to see him in action and doing and actually taking these steps. And when you see him in these pickup games, he looks pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to close on this. Two questions, yes or no questions. Ready? Are the Phillies making the playoffs and are the Eagles winning the division?
Yes, yes.
Boom! Thank you very much. His name is Paul Hudrick, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you guys read all his stuff, listen to all his stuff. By way of Liberty Ballers, of course, he's the great Paul Hudrick. Paul, always great catching up with you, man. And you look like a million damn dollars, no matter how I could describe you. That's the best way to do it, my friend. Thanks so much.
Of course. And again, the Bradley Cooper in A Star is Born was the preference.
You're right.
Hell is something, Paul. He's going to rent on the Sixers squad.
All right, that was selfish of me. That was just for me. It wasn't even for the audience or for you.
I kind of enjoyed it.
My brother. The great Paul Hudrick joining us right here from Liberty Ballers. Thanks, Paulie.
Anytime, Mark.
What do you need more? It is something that is here.
Yeah, anyway, welcome back. Welcome back. You guys are watching that fine, listening to that fine interview with Paulie. So it ain't happening, according to Paul. I needed to gauge it. I needed to gauge it, and that's what Paulie said, and I believe Paul. And if you're...
For the people on the podcast, Paulie has got the long hair going for him. Longer than ever. Longer than ever. Longer than ever. Bradley Cooper is definitely the name he likes being associated with. I think three appearances ago, it was more like Bradley Cooper. Now it's more like a much longer haired Bradley Cooper.
Anyway, thanks, Paul, for coming on the show. Let me tell you, what a perfect segue. Manscaped. Fellas, you want to look good everywhere, right? You want to look like you take care of things, right? That's where Manscaped enters the conversation. And their Platinum Package 4.0, it is the biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, their Platinum Package 4.0. It includes a lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, and it all comes with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks. So you can manscape with confidence and comfort. It also comes with the ultra-premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, crop preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant, crop reviver ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxers, and the shed travel bag that'll hold all the goods you'll be using to manscape your goods with Manscaped. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming, and now you can trust them with the whole shebang and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and getting 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy. That's 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy. How about Freestone Farms CBD? You like CBD? You want to use CBD? You want to try CBD? Freestone Farms CBD is the way to go. And also use promo code Farzy for 20% off at checkout of your FreestoneFarmsCBD.com order. If you use CBD or if you want to try it, CBD from Freestone Farms CBD is the way to go. You'll be blown away by their amazing strain menu. It's something that you'll absolutely have to check out with strains like their new and insane tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu
Kush
at 21%.
The genetics of these guys are absolutely off the charts. They grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State, so thank you, New Jersey. And the organic inputs and IPM, fantastic. There's absolutely nothing synthetic from farm to jar. And after harvest, they carefully preserve all the plant compounds with a perfect three-month cure. Just one look or smell is enough to let you know it's CBD done right. And it's a perfect gift for you, anyone really, to taking a more natural approach to everything that they put in their body. And once again, you get 20% off at checkout with promo code Farzi at freestonefarmcbd.com. That's promo code Farzi at freestonefarmcbd.com. Fellas, are you having an issue with the bedroom? If you are, Blue Chew would like a word. BlueChew.com. Use promo code Farzi for your first month free. Just pay $5 shipping. That's it. And you can solve a problem. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is an online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. And again, Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so there's no embarrassing trips to the doctor or pharmacy, as Blue Chew ships right to your door in a discreet package. And here's the Blue Chew process. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days, and it's all done online. Also, Blue Chew's licensed medical providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, there's no problem here. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, so it's not just a clever name. Blue Chew's tablets are also made right here in the good old U.S. of A. And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Once again, here's the special deal for our listeners and our viewers. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code Farzi at checkout and just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Farzi, all one word, to receive your first month free from BlueChew.com. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Station, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. Let's get into our chat check, see how you wonderful people are doing on this fine Wednesday morning. Mullet, what's going on? Cody Zelton, what's up, Cody? Good morning. Let's get ready for a red October. We go into the playoffs, baby. We go into the playoffs. Mally, hello, Kevin. What's up, Kevin? Mullet, what's going on? glad the Farzi fam is healthy and loving life again. Thank you, Mullet. I appreciate that. Mally, just to see them almost 15 games over 500 with all the injuries is amazing by itself. Great point, Mally. BDN said, let's hit baseballs. Sorry, BDN said, I hit baseballs. I think that means two things. All right. Evan, what's up, Evan? Good morning to you. Mally, our offensive coordinator isn't from Kensington Beach. Got the look. That's wrong. I'm sorry. I know what you're saying about Shane Steichen. Hopefully he doesn't call plays this year like he's on Kensington Beach or from Kensington Beach. Alex Young, I'm ready to get hurt again. Life as a Phillies fan, you know what I mean? Yeah, Alex, I don't think it's happening. This Phillies team is making the playoffs. Let me go full 30 for 30 on you. What if I told you that this Phillies team was a game and a half in a wild card spot, the second wild card spot in the National League? What if I told you after the Mets, they got a pretty easy schedule from that point up. They got a pretty easy schedule in the second half of the season. What if I told you, if you added all that together and then added the reigning NL MVP to the lineup? What if I told you that would be enough to make the playoffs? Because it will be. Get ready for playoff baseball. Get ready for playoff baseball. John Cheesebro, Johnny! John, what's going on? Nice to see you. April, hello. Not going to lie, Paul kind of looks like the dude. We'll put him in a bathrobe. We'll get him in a bathrobe next time around. April, Jim Grassmeter. What's up, Jim? Nice to say, any word on Mars? The kid is in pain, in case you missed it in the beginning of the show. MRI. He's going to have an MRI, get evaluated by Phillies team doctors. The doctor in Cincinnati said that it's just a bone bruise right now. So that's nice. That's a good sign there. Oh, and I think I said Nick Maton went to center field. He didn't. He went to left field. Veerling went to center field. Maton had never played in the outfield, from what I understand. And he went out there and he played himself a fine ball game. There's Jim, our Jim, PJ, answering that question. There you go. April, and injury looked rough. Yes, it was definitely rough. It when you saw him go down so awkwardly, and I know enough now to watch enough people with ACL injuries to know that if they're walking off the field, yes, it's better than them. It's better than them not walking off the field, but it doesn't mean that it's not an ACL. But as of right now, they said it just looks like a bone bruise. He'll have the MRI, and hopefully we know more by the end of today. Like I said, Phillies have a 12:35 start time today, so hopefully we'll know before then, if not right around that time. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Quick chat today. You guys are great. Appreciate you. Let's jump into our morning rush brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. I mentioned it 10 times already, but 12:35 start time today for the Phillies. Ranger Suarez gets the start for the Phillies. Hopefully he continues exactly what he has been doing over his last handful of starts, including what he was able to do against the Mets in his last outing. But today, you'll see him go against, let me make sure I pronounce this man's name correctly, Nick Lodolo. Lodolo? Lodolo. Lodolo. One of those. Nick is 3-4 on the season with a 4.72 ERA. Ranger Suarez, 8-5 on the season with a 3.52 ERA. He's got 89 strikeouts and 107 in the third innings of work. Over his last handful of starts, this is wild, okay? Let me see if I can go back further than this here because I want to get a bigger sample size than what we've seen here. But if you look at Ranger Suarez's last handful of starts here, let's see. Through the month of July, in three starts in July, Ranger Suarez went at least five innings in all those starts and did not allow an earned run. In the month of August, in two starts, he had a three-run outing in 5 1/3 against the Nationals and still won that game. He got the win. He picked up the win in that game. And then in his last start, seven innings, one earned run against the New York Mets, going up against Max Scherzer in that game, and he had himself a time in that game one, and that was the game that the Phillies did win against the Mets in game one of that series. So hopefully Ranger Suarez keeps that going. Kevin Durant, we got to all the news with Kevin Durant. Eagles will start practice today in Cleveland ahead of their preseason game on Sunday against the Browns. We'll see how all that plays out there in Cleveland. We know from listening to Shane Steichen yesterday, we know from Nick Sirianni talking about it earlier in the week, this is a big evaluation point. It's like preseason games and then right below that, if not even with it, in terms of evaluating the players that they have on their roster. Shane Steichen, Nick Sirianni, they look at these preseason joint practices as if they're games. And you remember how hyped they were about it last year when they were practicing with the Jets and they're getting these reps going up against teams that they are going to be facing on Sunday and in the preseason. And it means business. People are going to be fighting for jobs. The guy on the other side of the football field is going to be fighting for a job on his football team while you're fighting for a job on your football team. And you're going to be going head-to-head against somebody you don't need to respect because they ain't your teammate. So it's going to be interesting. You saw the joint practice the Patriots are having right now. I forget who it's with. Is it the Panthers? The joint practices, they're fighting it out already on the football field. Literally. Little scuffles, little kerfluffles on the field of play. It's probably going to happen here. And from what we've been seeing, we've had our guy Andre Dillard getting a couple of fights already, 3 in 1 day. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. But I can only imagine what's going to happen in joint practices. You're going to get a couple of reports of some kerfluffles going on as well. But one guy's name that we haven't talked about a lot is Kenny Gainwell. And I think I saw this yesterday from our man Brandon Lee Gouton, who was just on the show recently, talking about Kenny Gainwell not exactly taking a huge step forward in his second training camp as a professional football player. I got a lot of confidence. Like, I don't read too much into it. And look, whether it's Jalen Hurts going 6-for-6 in a preseason game, all I do is take it. Okay, that's a good sign. Nice. It doesn't mean that he's going to come out and be 6-for-6 in his first drive of the regular season. Like, that's not what it means at all. But I do want to see guys incrementally get better. And Kenny Gainwell, if all the talk surrounding Miles Sanders is true, which the Eagles have no intent of investing in a running back after this year, then Kenny Gainwell's got to be the guy to carry that torch after Miles Sanders. If he can do that, then we're going to be in good shape. So reports of him not exactly having a step up in his second go-around in training camp does not give me the warm and fuzzies. I want to at least see that he's catching the ball out of the backfield. He's had some drops already. I want to see that he's able to hit the hole. I want to see he's digesting the playbook, that he's more comfortable, if anything, in his second pro training camp. And right now, he's not getting glowing remarks. You know who is? The guy that our friend Brian Westbrook told us last week has a chip on his shoulder, and that's Miles Sanders. I'm hoping Miles Sanders gives the Eagles something to think about going into the offseason after this year. I'm hoping that's what he does. So far, it sounds like that chip on his shoulder is making him a better football player. So hopefully that's the case when the season starts. But Kenny Gainwell is the guy who I think does have more of a – he's a better chance of actually being the Eagles starting running back, not this upcoming season, but next year. So I want to see nothing but steps forward from him. So hopefully we'll see some good reports coming out of practice today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated. You guys are great as per usual. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Jim Heider produced the program, did a hell of a job. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzee Show presented by Steven Singer from the Steven Singer Studios. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. See you.